Have your Bibles tonight. Galatians chapter number 6. I want to draw your attention. Very simple thought tonight, primarily two verses. Galatians chapter 5, chapter 1 through 5 is about battling the errors of the day. It is the Judaizers trying to add to the gospel circumcision or trying to cause you to realize that you've got to keep working to keep the gospel, to keep salvation. Those two things. So they had trusted Christ as Savior and they were confused because the Judaizers had come in and was teaching them that salvation is not forever. It's only as long as you're good and that you need to be circumcised, which today would be like you need to be baptized in order to get to heaven. It was according to Jewish law. Well, when Jesus came, all that changed because he was the payment for our sin. And there was no longer any need to keep offering a sacrifice, no longer any need to keep the Old Testament law, which were sort of a sign that you had put your faith and trust in Christ, just like baptism. But you'll notice, if you would, in chapter 5, he goes through verses 17 through 26, the walk of the spiritual Christian. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 26, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let what you get in your devotions, let what you have in your heart live out in your steps. In other words, let your Christianity show. And then you notice he says, he gives a warning in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Now, folks, all of us have got to be careful of that. Everyone wants to be recognized. Everyone wants to be praised. That's in our fleshly nature. It's we all want to be noticed. We all want to be first. We all want to be all these different things that the flesh wants. And he says, look, whatever you do as a spiritual person, watch, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Don't desire for people to notice you, because vainglory is glory that's empty. And unless the Lord lifts us up, it's empty. If people come to you and say, boy, you did a great job of playing the piano or singing, or you did a great job of teaching that class, or you did a great job of singing the choir or whatever, and even our children, boy, you did a great job tonight. We want them to understand till the Lord gets the praise, till the Lord gets the glory. Because our flesh wants that glory. So notice what it says, let us not be desirous of empty glory. Don't be desirous of the praise of man. If it comes, fine. But I want to hear the two words, well done. That's what I'm living for. You can't let your eyes get on the things that you do. Now, we want to do our best, but let the Spirit of God give us that settledness. You did a good job. But the desire shouldn't be, I want the people, if four people come up and say, you did a good job, then I'll know I did a good job. It's the desire for vainglory. Well, notice what he says, provoking one another, envying one another. So he gives us three things here. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, desirous of that, or envying one another. Let's not want to be, don't let when somebody gets up to sing or somebody gets up to play, boy, I wish I could play like that. Don't have that envying in your heart. You don't let your desires go there. Now, folks, we can control our desires. You have to say, Lord, you give me the strength to say no to the things that feed my flesh. Praise. Lord, payback. Notice here, envying one another. Well, I want to be like that person. Lord, I'm just sort of jealous of that person. You have to say, I'm not going to think that. If you allow yourself to think, why did they get that talent? Wait a minute, don't think that. Well, how is it they get that? Don't think that. Don't be desirous. Don't let your desires go there. And folks, all of us have to take our desires and lay them right down here and say, Lord, I just want to give my desires to you. Now, chapter 6 of Galatians sort of flips from the doctrinal, be careful of this, and here's the truth, and the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to, notice what he says in verse number one, brethren. Now he's speaking to those that know Christ. And I want you to see, really, it's a narrower group than just those that are saved. Notice what he says in verse number one, brethren, now let's forget the first phrase or two. If a man be overtaken in fault, listen this one, ye which are spiritual. So he says, brethren, ye which are spiritual. That's who he's talking to in chapter six. Brethren, ye which are spiritual. Now, let me define for you a little bit about ye which are spiritual. Well, number one, it would be you spend time in God's word every day. You are seeking the Lord. You and the Lord both know it. You live with empty palms. Lord, I want to be more like you today than I was yesterday. You're working on your Christian walk. You're quick to apologize. You're wise to what you do wrong. You have a spiritual heart, spiritual eyes. The difference between physical eyes and spiritual eyes, or fleshly eyes and spiritual eyes, or the spiritual eyes are looking through the lens of Scripture. They're looking through the heart of God. What does God think about this? What does the Lord think about the way I said that? What does the Lord, and you're conscientious about trying to be in His image, spiritual ones. You're faithful to church. But there are a lot of people that are faithful to church that don't do what's right in here. And so I urge you, this is speaking to those that have a spiritual heart, that are trying to walk the walk of God's servant. And they get their energy and their strength from God's word, from their prayer time, from their closeness to the Lord. That's a spiritual person. It's a person that can take trouble and not let them get bitter. They can take hurt. They can be mistreated and keep walking on with a sweet spirit, because I'm going to let the Lord take care of this. They're hard to offend. They're hard to hurt because they give their hurts to the Lord. They're easy to use. I'll be glad to do that, Pastor. Let me help with that. They don't think of themselves first. That's a spiritual person. There are a lot of Christians that are not spiritual people. They're trying to be, but it's not in their walk. The joy of the Lord is not in their face. Now, I'm going to explain to you why that's important in just a minute. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to 1 Peter. And notice with me, if you would, this is a part of a spiritual person. Now watch this. 1 Peter 2, verse number 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God, you're doing what you do because you're trying to honor the Lord. You apologize because you're trying to honor the Lord. You forgive because you're trying to honor the Lord. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, that's a spiritual person. They don't endure grief and say, well, woe is me, I've been mistreated. They have the joy of the Lord in spite of the grief. Suffering wrongfully. Notice this. In verse number 20, for what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. If you get what you deserve, what glory is that if you handle that right? We're supposed to do that. But notice, but if when you do well and suffer for it, if your intentions are good and you do your best and you still suffer, he says, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's a spiritual person. And you don't get there by skipping devotions every once in a while, or skipping prayer time, or skipping church, coming to sing and realize that I'm singing to the Lord. In other words, your worship is real. That's required for a spiritual person. Now, you're not as up and down. You're more steady. a spiritual person is. A spiritual person is easier to live with. A spiritual person is easier to serve with. So now let's go back up and read Galatians 1 again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken, and this original word here is to surprise. A person that doesn't plan to sin, but they just got surprised. You just sort of messed up. Anybody ever not planned on doing something and you did it and you said, how did I do that? Okay? Brethren, if a man be overtaken. Now, this is, he's surprised. Literally, it is to receive alongside of you. You just, all of a sudden, something just surprised you. Now watch. Be overtaken in a fault. This is to fall out. Parapipto is to fall aside. You fell out of the way. You did something that doesn't honor the Lord. Maybe you didn't intend to do it, but now you do it over and over and over. You sort of got taken over by a fault. One of David's greatest fears was that something would be stronger than him inside. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 19. I want you to see this. Notice this. Look at Psalm 19. Notice verse number 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, from things I would do on purpose. I just see them and say, well, I want to do that. Lord, keep me back from that. That's not a spiritual person. David's recognized that. I don't want that. And let them not have dominion over me. Lord, I don't want any sin to have dominion over me. I don't want any sin to have control of me. He was fearful of that. And notice he says, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I'll never fall away from you, Lord, as long as I keep up with those little things and I don't let the little things control me or have a dominion over me. And notice if you would, he says, verse 14, the secret to that is let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Lord, help me to think right and to talk right. Those are some of the secrets to protecting your heart from this sin of dominance. This sin of dominance could be anger. It could be a sin that you thought was taken care of years ago, and all of a sudden it just pops back up. And you say, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. But you don't let it happen again and again and again. Therefore, it has dominance. Now, notice, if you would, he says, look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, Christians, if a man be overtaken, he is surprised, he's overwhelmed, it caught him, shocked him, and he did something, he said something that was wrong, he told a lie, and he says, why did I do that? If a man be overtaken in a fault, now this could be either he was surprised in a fault or it's a habitual sin, he's addicted to it, either one. Overtaken in a fault. Now watch this, ye which are spiritual, those of you that are not easily offended, those of you that care about the things Jesus cares about, restore such an one. Now, to restore, how many have ever popped a limb out of place? How many have ever you popped a finger out of place or a shoulder out of place? How many have ever done that? Okay? It's not a fun thing. Okay? I remember playing ball in school and I fell on my shoulder and I felt it pop out. And I rolled over on my back and it popped back in. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. It's called a dislocated shoulder. Well, if it happens over and over again, you have to have surgery on it. If you leave it alone, it'll repair itself. Well, a Christian keep in mind, brethren, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, the idea is that this is one of the brethren and sisters in Christ, be overtaken in a fault. He said, you, they're spiritual, restore such a one. Something is out of place in the Christian. He doesn't see that he loses his temper. He doesn't see that there is this fault in his life. There's this thing that he's outside the will of God. And so, now notice what he says here. Look here. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So you might call somebody aside in the spirit of, now remember, meekness and humility are not rising very far from the ground. You realize you could be in the same position and worse. And so you're not coming from a point of, I'm the spiritual brother. Let me help you. You're coming from, look, I'm not any better than you. You're coming rising, not rising very far from off the ground. Humility, from meekness. You know, you might want to think about the words that you said. You might want to consider, you know, I had a problem like this years ago, and I had to go to the Lord. I just want to encourage you. You're trying to pop the limb back in place. You're trying to restore someone. Now, watch this. He says this, considering thyself. The idea is, you know, I better look at my own life first before I say anything. Is everything in my life right? Then, do I have a tendency toward this? And watch what he says. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Don't help someone if you have the same tendency. Now, if you do, make sure it's been repaired. Your shoulder's tight. It's normal, spiritual. Now, watch what he says here. Verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. Now, this word for burden is the word baras. It's a weight. Literally, it is a weight too heavy for one. It's a sorrow. Someone is too heavy for one. It's an issue in their life. It's too heavy for them. When it says, bear ye one another's burdens, it literally means this person can't carry this. They need help. I remember years ago, Susan and I were shopping for the house. We're trying to fix up the Africa room. And if you've ever been to our house, we had made an Africa room with animals in it. And she found a leather elephant in Maryland. And this elephant's about this tall. It was all leather. And she said, that would be cool. Take pictures of the grandkids on it, stuff like that. And so I said, we really need a leather elephant. And you know, she loved to decorate. And I said, okay. So we got that elephant and we put it in the truck and tied it down. This elephant's got a snout up in the air. We're driving down the expressway. And we pull up to get gas. And I'm getting gas in the truck. And a guy looks over, and he's getting gas. He looks over at my elephant, and he looks back over and says, cool elephant. I said, yeah, thanks. Okay, I got it. So I get to the house, and the elephant won't go in the garage. I'm afraid it's going to rain. So I said, I can't carry this elephant by myself. And Sue says, I'll help. I said, no, okay? And she said, Arnie, look, let's not do that. Let's get it in the house. And so finally we struggled. I got the back of it. She got the snout, put it on her shoulder. She walked. We get it in the front door and get it in the lobby, okay? Right there in the front little of the house. I said, I'm going to leave it right there. She looks up the stairs. She said, sure would be nice to get it in the room again tonight. And I said, honey, it's too heavy. And she said, I think we can do it. In other words, I think you can and I'll steer. That's what she meant. And I said, I don't think I can do that. And so she said, please, honey, let's try. And I said, okay. So I got the back up. We started up the stairs and I got up to the last step and she turned the elephant a little way and I grabbed it and hurt my back. And I said, and so we got it on the first floor and I just left it. Let's just leave it right here. She said, okay. There was no way one person carried that elephant. And there was no way I was coming to church the next day like this. And somebody say, what'd you do, Pastor? I said, I was carrying an elephant. Oh, yeah, that's great. I know everybody's going to believe that. I said, honey, you put me in a terrible spot. And she said, I'm sorry. And so what this passage is talking about is, look, someone can't carry the elephant. They need help. And you that are spiritual say, now, look, I could have gone to my neighbor and said, would you help me carry an elephant? And they'll say, what? And a lot of times, you know what? We look at somebody else's burden that's too heavy for them and say, I don't get involved. I don't want to carry an elephant. I don't want to help you with your anger. I don't want to help you with your bitterness. I don't want to help you with your... And so they can't carry it alone. But that's why God wants spiritual people to forget themselves and to get under the load of someone else that can't carry it alone and help them with it. Now, notice the next time the word burden is used. Look in verse number 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. This is a different word. This is phodion. This is the burden that it's something you're supposed to do. It's a burden that you can carry by yourself. And so he says, look, spiritual people, carry the burdens that you're supposed to carry by yourself. Look, you be in prayer about certain things that I can't get other people to pray about. You carry that burden yourself. You carry your own burdens, and whenever you've got something, you bring it to me. I'll help you carry it. So spiritual people learn the kind of burdens they can carry between the Lord and them. I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, we started looking at moving, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to get we got 16 men, and we had meals for 3 days, and we pulled, I guess, 90% of the cable for the new building. And I saw 8 million miles of cable in that building, all the ends hanging there. I said, oh, we just bit off more than we can chew. And we're going to have to move. And we're going to have to, how are we going to do all this? And so I said, Lord, you've got to help us. And I went into the classroom. There's no shelving in the classrooms, in each one of the little closets, and there's 13 of them. I said, Lord, this is too big a job for me. And so I am thankful that I could go, and I went to one of our men and said, would you help me? Let's put together a plan. I can't carry this load. And this person looked at me and says, I'll be glad to. And in my heart, I said, you will? I was surprised because it's a big job. And so that's to install things at the new site. I mean, do you know how hard it is to order 150, 200 chairs the right color and get them here on the right time? And the right desks. I mean, people come in and say, why'd you order that color? I mean, why'd you get them 13 inches, not 15 inches, and 16 inches, not 18 inches? And how many you put in a room? And what kind of teacher's desk you want? And all the different things that involve that. And, you know, Lord, I need somebody that would take that as a burden because I can't do it. And then I got to thinking about moving. Oh, moving. I've moved 22 times. I said, Lord, I can't do it again. Lord, I can't even think of all the things in this building. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, Pastor, this guy came up to me and said, Pastor, we're just running through the buildings. And he went through and logged in everything in the building. Things I didn't know we had. No wonder why I could have moved them. One of the things he asked me, he says, you don't want to move these flags, do you? Because somebody came up and says, that's a gold eagle. It won't match. Can we get a silver eagle? It'll match. Anybody got a can of spray paint? I need some silver spray paint. I'm going to spray paint that eagle. But I promise you, that would have been in the new building gold. And somebody would have said, oh. I said, I didn't even notice it. You need somebody that has eyes to see this box, that picture, boxes of giving records for 20 years. I said, oh. I give up. And so I said, I'll go talk to somebody, but I am sure they're going to say, Pastor, I don't have time. I got a full-time job. And I went to him and said, look, could you help? I'm overtaken in a fault. It surprised me. It's too big for me. Would you help me? And to my surprise, this guy said, be glad to. I'll be here Monday. I'll go over this and I'll go over that. I was like, Lord, could I get 1,000 members like that? I said, Brother Brandon, Scott, I don't know how we're going to move all the stuff in music. Can you just take all the music stuff? And Brother Brandon said, yeah. And you know, the boxes of all the music are already over in there. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for people to help me carry the elephant. I'm going to hurt something, Lord. Now, look, all of us have an elephant. The question is, can you distinguish between the elephant and the burden you're supposed to carry? Most Christians say, I can't carry the elephant or the burden I've got. The Lord says, ye which are spiritual, help someone that's fallen. They've got an elephant on their back, and they don't know how to get rid of it. Folks, that's one of the real tests of a great church. We identify people that are struggling, and we don't have to go to the pastor and to the deacons and say, we can just say, look, can I help you? Could I be of help to you? Ye which are spiritual, notice in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what do we do? Do we have tape that we write on somebody's forehead and say, I'm overtaken in a fault? No, somebody has to recognize it. Who? Ye are spiritual. So a spiritual person is not just looking in the mirror all the time. They're looking out to see if they can be a blessing. Now, I want one thing about helping someone carry the elephant. There are some people that quit and let you do the rest. And they hurt you. And remember the reason the Lord asks spiritual people, it says, because when you suffer wrongfully, you keep going. That's why God asks the spiritual and not the unspiritual. So before you can say, let me help, you've got to be faithful with you and the Lord. It's got to be you look forward to get up in the mornings and you want to spend time with him, and you gain sustenance spiritually from your time with the Lord, and you pray and you expect the Lord to answer your prayers, and you pray and say, Lord, would you help me? Lord, I need you today. And you develop your strength from the Lord on a consistent basis. And that person becomes a spiritually minded person, and that person can be used of God, because when they get in and help somebody and it doesn't go their way and they get grieved, they don't give up and they don't blame somebody else and they don't drop the elephant. They do it because one big reason. Who are we doing it for? Remember 1 Peter? Out of conscience to the Lord. Lord, I want to help because of you. A lot of people would be a lot better off if they got their mind and their eyesight off the mirror and onto someone else that's carrying an elephant. Now, notice he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. The Lord's desire is that every Christian, weak and strong, would get to the point where they can carry their own weight, because they're growing in the Lord day by day and they're getting stronger. And so if they have something they need, they can go to somebody and say, would you pray with me about this? That's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me about this? Because we pray about this together. Would you covenant together with me? And you say, sure, I'll take on that burden for you. I'll pray with you about it. There's a pastor friend and I, and every week he writes me a note and says, I want you to know I'm praying for your building to close. I want you to know I'm praying for this and this and this. And then I'll write him back and I'll say, I'm praying for your health because he's struggling with health. And so we sort of bear each other's burdens. It's a wonderful thing to know that I'm not alone. And folks, tonight, could I encourage you as a wife, help your husband bear his burden. As a husband, help your wife bear her burden. As a brother or sister, help your brother or sister bear their burden. How many of you know something about one of your mates, your brother, sister, somebody at school? You know something about them. They're carrying a small elephant. Raise your hand. Raise it up. Good and high. Okay. What are you doing to help them? That's what a spiritual person says. I want to see it. Now, you notice this. Last thing. I'll close. Look down at verse number 9. This is the end of the passage. And let us not be weary. Let us not grow tired of well-doing. You know what? Helping someone carry their elephant is well-doing. Don't get tired of helping this person, helping that person. Even though there's not much in it for you. You know, the giver, a person that likes to give can get hurt easily because in the end, they can back up and say, well, they don't do anything for me. But the spiritual giver says, I'm not doing it to get. I'm doing it because you did it for me. I'm giving it because I love you. That person can go on and on and on and on because they're gaining strength in the mornings. They're gaining strength at church. They're expending. You see, you can't exercise intensely without eating. And you can't eat without exercising. One way or the other is bad for you. So the point is, learn this balance of, I want to spend time in God's word. Now I want to do something what I've learned. I want to help somebody carry their elephant. And I want to carry my own. I want to carry my burdens. And Lord, I want to do the things I'm supposed to do, Lord. I want to please you. But Lord, help me to do all these things for your sake so that I don't get weary in well-doing. Notice this. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And he gives the reason. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, let me ask you this, and I'm done. Just a question. If you knew you could help someone get up from their hurt or their sin and start serving the Lord again, would you do it? Would you help them carry the elephant? Let me back up. Let's say you knew 5 people over a period of 4 or 5 years, and you helped these 5 people, but only 3 of them did the right thing. The other 2 kept falling down, quit, drifted away from the Lord. And you could have looked at it and says, what good did I do in that? Is 3 out of 5 good enough to say, Lord, it was worth it? Is 2 out of 5? Is 1 person worth it? The answer is yes. That's the reason the Lord Jesus teaches us the principle. If you've got 100 sheep and 1 goes astray, what do you do with the 99? Put them up. And you go after the 1. Everybody in this room is worth more to the Lord than all the world. Don't give up on people. Don't give up. Don't get weary doing right. Don't get weary doing right yourself. Don't get weary praying for someone else. How many of you have prayed for someone a long time and they haven't changed? Raise your hand. Don't get weary in well-doing. You know, sometimes we look at results only. And sometimes God is growing us with the labor, with carrying the elephant. Tonight, don't be weary in well-doing. One of these days, we're going to reap. You know what I think that one of these days for in due season, you know what I think that is? Here or there, we're going to reap. We're going to get the blessings of God either here or there. Though that one that did what was right out of the five, we can rejoice. But in heaven, we're going to rejoice over all five because the Lord said, you did what I asked. Thank you. Tonight, don't be weary in well-doing. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, tonight, I'm thankful you don't get weary in well-doing with me. Because, Lord, I fall out of the way. I get overtaken in a fault. And, Lord, I just need you tonight. And, Father, I'm afraid there are times when I don't help people carry their elephants like I should. And ask you to forgive me for that. Lord, help me to keep my eyes on others. Father, would you bless our church? And let us be a church family of givers that doesn't have to have a return until we get to heaven. Lord Jesus, help us to be strong enough from our daily devotions and our time with you at church and our prayer time, Lord, that we're growing spiritually. Lord, would you let us be spiritual ones in this place that we can help others? Speak to our hearts tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.